Merlin feels strange. A bit like he's hungover, which makes sense given he remembers drinking. It was wine, he's almost sure. But he wasn't in his flat. He was out. Out with Arthur. Merlin frowns, eyes still shut. He was on a date with Arthur, and he'd gotten drunk, and Arthur had taken him home. He doesn't remember getting home, though, but he must have, because he's lying on his bed, and the air is certainly as cold as it normally is in his flat. His right hand is trapped in an awkward position, and he tries to pull it back towards his body, but it snags on something. Frowning, eyes still shut, he tries again. It's stuck somehow, like there's something looped around it, like... His eyes fly open. It takes him a minute to process what he's seeing, eyes traveling slowly from the handcuff around his wrist to the steel bars in front of him. Then he panics. He jerks his hand away, but there's no give in the cuff, no matter how hard he pulls. Remembering himself, he mutters a spell to release the cuff. Nothing happens. He tries again, forcing himself to speak slower. His magic sometimes stalls in stressful situations. Still nothing. He tries once more and then wonders if the spell is the problem. Has he forgotten the right words? He tries another spell, one of the simplest he knows, one to turn the lights off. The lights stay on. Frantic, his eyes sweep down his body. Then he sees the black bracelet wrapped around his ankle. He's been trained to recognize one of those since he was 5 years old. For a moment he's completely still, frozen with fear. After a few seconds, he forces himself to sit up, ignoring the nausea the motion causes. He touches the tag with his free hand, feels the hard metal, and for some reason it's that sets him off hyperventilating. He brings his knees up to his chest, breath coming in short pants, a rush of blood in his ears. He thinks for a moment he might vomit or pass out, but he does neither, just rocks back and forth in place, gasping for air. For a moment he's sure that he'll have a heart attack, but there's a voice in his head that sounds a lot like Edwin's telling him to calm down and just think. It's that voice that kick-starts the memories of his training. One of the first classes he took after hours at the Institute was on hostile situations and how to survive them. They were all encouraged to attend. It happened too often to magicals to be ignored. The voice tells him to assess the situation rationally.
What do you know so far?
He's in a cell. He's been restrained. His magic is gone. He doesn't know how long he's been out for, and there are no windows he can see to tell the time of day. The pain in the back of his head indicates he was probably hit there, but the residual fogginess speaks to being drugged rather than concussed. Kidnapped, then. Planned. Someone who knew he was a magical. But who? A terrorist group like the AMA or Think Britain? An opportunist looking for a ransom? A loner with a grudge against magic? None of the options are palatable. He supposes the ransom would be best, except there's no one who could pay it for him. If it's any other options, he's in big trouble. The thought makes him panic again, bile rising in his throat. He forces himself to calm down to evaluate the probabilities. Think Britain have never actually killed anyone to his knowledge. They bomb magical targets, but only when there are no people around. They're a violent pressure group, but they're not usually murderers. The AMA did kill a lot of magicals in the 70s and 80s, but they seem to have largely disbanded. It's unlikely to be them, though not impossible. Alona with a grudge. They would have no political aims. Nothing to gain from ransoming him. They might want nothing more than to simply torture and kill him. Merlin swallows a sob. It isn't supposed to end like this. He'd been so careful, and the outlook had seemed so much better recently. He'd been beginning to hope at last. And now he's locked up in a basement at the mercy of someone who hated him for something he'd been born with, something as natural as the color of his hair. The thought makes him angry, and he tries to cling on to that, better angry than scared. Anger keeps you going, keeps you fighting. Fear does nothing. He casts his eyes around the room, taking in the table and chairs, the sofa in the corner. There's nothing obvious that can help him right now, not when he's handcuffed to the bed. It looks like there's something heaped on the sofa, but he can't really see what it is from this angle. The stairs are blocking his view. He ducks down slightly to get a better look, and freezes. There's someone stretched out on the couch. A man, by the looks of it, though Merlin can only really see his legs. A hysterical voice in his head says it could be a body, but he listens for a second and hears the faint sound of steady breathing. Asleep, then. This has to be the man who kidnapped him. Very slowly, very carefully, he moves as far back on the bed as the cuff will allow, and then cranes his neck till he can just about look past the stairs to see... Arthur. The bottom drops out of Merlin's world. Arthur. Arthur asked him out. Arthur paid for his dinner and offered him a lift home. Arthur walked him to his van. Arthur... Arthur hit him and restrained him and brought him here. The shock is overwhelming. Merlin feels like his whole body is rebelling against the truth. Every fiber of him is straining to prove that there has been some mistake, any mistake. But it makes perfect sense. Isn't this exactly what Merlin had feared all along? The very thing he'd told himself he was paranoid for even considering? You should have trusted your instincts. You should never have gone out with him in the first place. If you'd thought more about common sense and less about your pathetic loneliness... Merlin cuts the voice off. He doesn't have time for regret right now. He needs to figure out who Arthur's working for and what they want. Unless he's the loner with the grudge. Merlin suspects not. The whole setup seems too well orchestrated. Magic suppressors aren't exactly easy to come by, and the fact that he's in a purpose-built cell suggests he isn't the first person to be kept here. Does Arthur do this all the time? Is Merlin the latest in a long line of suckers who fell for the prospect of a date and signed their own death warrant? Death warrant. Is Arthur going to kill him? Logic says no. If he'd wanted to, he'd have already done it by now, while Merlin was unconscious and defenseless. It doesn't mean he won't kill him later, though. A shudder wrecks Merlin's body. He picks up the blanket on the bed to wrap it around him and then drops it a second later. He shouldn't be touching anything in this place. He doesn't want Arthur waking up to see him huddled in a blanket like some pathetic infant. Arthur obviously already saw him as pathetic, though, if he worked the whole date scam on him. It would have been less insulting if Arthur had beaten him up in a dark alley and dragged him into his van at gunpoint. But instead Arthur had mocked him, asked him out, paid for his dinner, flirted with him even. All the while inwardly laughing at the magical stupid enough to let his guard down around the first guy that pays him a compliment. Suddenly, he's furious. He begins to shout Arthur's name, loudly. After a few seconds, the legs on the couch jerk. Then Arthur's sitting up, shaking his head as though he can't figure out where the noise is coming from. Merlin can pinpoint the exact moment he remembers, and his head shoots up to look at the cell. Merlin tries to inject as much menace into his voice as possible, although it's difficult to feel menacing when he's chained to bed. What the fuck am I doing here? Arthur gets to his feet, slowly, and walks towards the cell. It's surreal. He's still wearing the same black shirt that Merlin complimented him on, God knows how many hours ago, and now he's a totally different person. Merlin sits up as straight as he can, refusing to be intimidated. You heard me, Arthur, if that is your real fucking name. Why am I here? Arthur's reached a cell now, and he stops in front of it, face impassive. It's eerie, and Merlin finds himself wondering if Arthur really is just a very well-organized loner with a grudge after all. He hides his fear with rage. God fucking damn it, why am I here? Arthur tilts his head to look right at him, and he says, Do you need to use the bathroom? Merlin can't even speak for a moment. What? He asks at last. You've been out for nearly 8 hours now, and you drank a lot of wine at the restaurant. Nearly 8 hours? They could be anywhere by now. They could be in another country. Merlin ignores Arthur's ridiculous aside. Where am I? Who are you working for? What do you want from me? He reminds himself not to mention the Institute or to give up any other personal details, Clearly the cat's out of the bag about his magic, but he doesn't know what else Arthur is aware of.
"We can talk about all that after you go to the bathroom, if you want," Arthur says evenly, and Merlin nearly explodes.
"For fuck's sake! Stop asking about the fucking bathroom and tell me why I'm here!"
It's at this point he realizes that he needs to use the bathroom. Like hell he's saying anything now.
Arthur turns and picks up a chair, putting it down so he's sitting in front of the cell.
"My name really is Arthur. You're in a house in the North York Moors. I work for a company that gave me the job of kidnapping you in the hopes of postponing the vote on the microchipping bill next month." "I think that was all of your questions."
"I don't believe you," Merlin says. Arthur shrugs.
"It's true."
"If it's true, then why would you just tell me all this? Aren't you worried all?"
Merlin stops short, realization dawning on him.
"I'm not going to get the chance to tell anyone, am I? I'm going to die here."
The words feel heavy in his mouth, but he spits them out anyway, wanting to hear the truth. Unexpectedly, Arthur blanches. "You're not going to die. That's not... Look, I can't tell you why. It's just..."
He stops, composes himself.
"You'll be free in a few weeks."
Merlin studies him, trying to judge if he's being honest. "What company do you work for?"
"That's enough questions," Arthur says, standing up and moving the chair back. "I will bring you meals 3 times a day. You will ask me if you need to use the bathroom, and I will escort you over there."
He points to the door in the near wall.
"I will take the handcuffs off now, but I will keep your hands tight whenever you're in the cell."
"Why? Think I can bend metal bars, do you?"
Arthur continues as though he hadn't been interrupted. "I'll untie them for meals and bathroom visits. You may request another blanket if you need one."
The whole thing's rattled off like an introduction to the weirdest hotel of all times, right down to Arthur's bizarrely formal tone. Merlin feels totally discombobulated. He wonders if Arthur's trying to lure him into a false sense of security. In the classes at the Institute, they were warned that kidnappers might want to torture them for information or hurt them for personal amusement. The thought scares him, but it honestly makes more sense to Merlin than the way Arthur's behaving now.
"Is all that clear?"
Merlin doesn't mean to ask the question, it just pops out. "Why me?"
There's a short silence. "I said no more questions," Arthur finally replies. "I'm about to go out and buy some food for the house. This is your last chance if you need to use the bathroom."
Merlin wants to refuse, but his body protests. "Fine," he spits out. Arthur unlocks the cell and then walks over to undo the cuff. He pauses as he's about to fit the key in.
"You're probably thinking about running, but I wouldn't bother. The sedative's still in your system, and you'll never make it out the door. Even if you did, it's all moors for miles around here. You wouldn't stand a chance."
Merlin looks up at Arthur mutinously, but he knows how to be tactical, so he does nothing when Arthur takes the cuff off, just allows himself to be led out of the cell and into the bathroom. Outside it, Arthur fixes him with a look.
"I'll let you close the door, but only because there's no lock. Please do not try and barricade yourself in there, or I'll remove it from its hinges."
He's clearly done his hostage-proofing, because Merlin finds there's absolutely nothing in the toilet that's not nailed to the floor, except the bar of soap. He debates throwing it at Arthur's head, or maybe trying to rub suds in his eyes, but it doesn't seem like the greatest of plans. He'll have to rely on his fallback. Speed. He relieves himself quickly and leaves the tap running after washing his hands, hoping it sounds like he's still soaping up or something. Then he takes a deep breath and hurls himself out of the door, making a desperate break towards the stairs. Arthur catches him before he's even gone 3 paces. "No, let me go!" he shouts, but he's weakened from being unconscious for so long, and Arthur's grip is much stronger than he could have imagined. Arthur drags him back to the cell and throws him down on the bed. Before he can recover enough to get up, Arthur's out of the cell and locking the door behind him. Merlin runs to the door of the cell, because at least he's not handcuffed to anything this time, and rattles the bar. "You can't fucking keep me here!" he all but screams. Arthur doesn't even reply, walking back up the stairs, away from him.
His silence seems to say that, yes, he can keep him here, and there's nothing Merlin can do about it.
Rescue.